bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today.
It's Wednesday, November 7th, 2018, and this is episode 1633 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
I'm Matt Lott.
And I'm the Grease.
Quick question.
Yes.
Why are you always trying to be Astro Lott now?
Astro Lott?
Yeah, well, yeah, 2 weeks in a row. Look, he's old NASA.
Oh, he does have a NASA shirt on.
It's part of my life now. Can't go
you
back.
He went to the space camp.
On brand.
Went to Kennedy Space
Center. Not okay with this.
I tried to come back in. I bounced off the
change
atmosphere.
Your shirt and come back. Whoa, slow zoom.
Baby shark.
What is this on my head?
It's light.
Matt Lott started taking his shirt off here in the middle of the studio.
Hot dang.
Will told me to
that'll,
take my shirt
that'll improve
off.
Our...
We're going to take some listener questions today because Terry asked if we had any topics, and a lot of people just ask questions. So a lot of those would have been too small to take as a full episode. But we will discuss some of the questions that came in via Facebook, via Twitter, and Terry, I'm going to have you pull them.
I got them.
You got them?
Okay. I got some of them.
We'll do some of those in a second. Also, it's Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday week, I guess you could say. It's birthday week.
Time out. You do the whole birthday week thing?
No, I don't. We just only release
We have one day in my house.
I have an iconic favorite moment ever.
Mickey Mouse
on the steamboat.
Playing the drums.
Whistling.
It's actually, we're still like 2 weeks away from Mickey's actual 90th. They just did the 90th celebration. It's not until November 18th.
It's ridiculous.
Is there going to be like a parade or something?
I don't know what they're going to do in the parks. I'm sure they'll do something. They just did that.
They're
going to
do fireworks.
They will do fireworks.
They're going to do some fireworks.
I wonder if it's a paid Christmas day.
I was there last year for the birthday in Disneyland, and it was a button and a one photo op.
Yeah, I feel like that's it.
Now, next year, they're coming out with a celebration, Mickey and Minnie, like that's going to be like a little special mini parade kind of thing.
For the 91st?
No, because I think they're saying it's the 90th, like...
Oh, starting.
Yes.
Gotcha. Well, it's cool. I mean, 90 years is a heck of a feat. I think that we're still here talking about a cartoon character from 90 years ago. And it's,
I mean, he looks
be like,
great
living to be 90 is a heck of a feat.
Well, that's
these
true, too.
Days.
But it's as relevant of a brand as anything, if not more relevant now than it certainly was 90 years ago. So, big ups to the Disney Corporation. Now, I did watch the 90th anniversary special. Which
Lots
ran,
of people want to hear our opinion on this.
This past weekend on ABC, right before the Alec Baldwin show.
I already told y'all, I mean, Mickey playing the drums on that thing was the greatest moment of my life.
This show, I missed talking. The first hour. So I tuned in, second hour, got back from dinner, turned it on, and it was the weirdest thing maybe I've ever watched. I didn't know what it was. The way people spoke was very uncomfortable. My family who was with me, one of the members of the family was like, this is like either Mickey's funeral or this is like Mickey's real. And not that Mickey's not real, but you know what I mean. Like Mickey, the character, as if it was a live human being in the way they spoke about him. And it was uncomfortable to say the least. It also was like the most staged audience ever. It just felt like one of the parades, like that just felt weirdly edited. Weirdly put together. I turned in during a K-pop performance, I believe.
Oh, that was...
Which was fine.
Oh, that was the low point.
Which I'm fine with K-pop, but I was just kind of like, what's happening here?
Who are these people?
Why is this... And it wasn't even necessarily doing... I don't think they did a Disney song. And I also saw Josh Groban do a random song.
Yeah,
like,
Maria.
Not a Disney hit.
And there was another artist that came in and did just...
Just a song.
Just a song.
Right. I get the theming. Like, Leslie Odom Jr. came out. The highlight of my night... I was watching his performance from Hamilton. He did When You Wish Upon a Star. Beautiful rendition.
That's not in Hamilton.
No, he's from Hamilton.
He
was Aaron Burr.
His performance from Hamilton.
He's from Hamilton.
Okay, clarify.
He was Aaron Burr in Hamilton. It was peaceful. It was sweet. It was nice. It was beautiful.
Did you see Zach Brown Band's
That's the
Bare
one I
Necessity?
Missed.
That was fantastic.
Now, I've heard that on the record. It's
it was
great.
Legit amazing.
I'm sure. The recorded version is awesome.
Because especially when the non-Zach member of the band did the talking part.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was the dang dialogue. I was like, oh, man.
Beautiful.
And that opened the show? That was first?
That was like second musical performance.
It is also a little like, what does that have to do with Mickey? But whatever, we'll keep going. We'll just say Mickey inspired all of Disney, so it's fine.
Tori Kelly did The Colors of the Wind, and then, I mean, she's amazing.
I've seen her do that, too, before. I don't know.
Like she's done it before. Yeah. Basically, they just, I think they got out the all of the like tribute CDs and said,
Which right, ones Tori, are these? Are, which ones available? Of these are good?
Anybody? Is Zach Brown Band in L.A. this week? And they filmed it like 3 months ago.
Two things about that. Number one, she sang it live and she sounded amazing.
Oh, she's ridiculous, yes. Yeah.
Two, when Mickey and Minnie came out there and did their whole dance routine, and then they kind of had this like ending shot of them kind of walking off, and you kind of saw like their mouths moving, talking to each other, and like it was just going through the smoke. And then they did the wide shot, and they're literally like almost hitting the back projection screen. Like, I don't know, they just sold it so well until you saw the wide shot. I'm like, well, they're about to run into that thing. But like straight on shot, it was like, it was awesome. Like, you just were
the low-lying fog sold the grease.
Oh yeah,
it's great,
obviously.
But then there were times where it felt like it was completely off the rails.
Oh,
and it was just pure insanity. It wasn't even, it was like you said, Mickey's playing the drums. Mickey almost made an accepted speech kind of at the end.
Whoa. Wait.
Mickey, you'd like to thank the Academy?
You're putting Mickey playing the drums in the box of It Went Off the Rails?
It's just awkward. It just was a lot of awkward time. A lot of awkward Mickey time.
Did you see Mickey twirl a dang drumstick? It just, it was amazing.
I thought it was cool. I think the whole thing was a fun
idea.
Have
you ever seen that before?
No, and maybe that's why I have a problem with it.
That's why I love it.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That ain't the real Mickey.
Mickey can't play drums in canon.
Spoiler alert.
But
ironically, I don't know.
I hurt my soul.
Soren.
He could whistle.
Not a fan.
Will's lobbying for his text to be bigger
in
on
the
way,
next shirt. I think it was John. From John Stamos on, I think the show was good.
John Stamos.
Josh Gad's whole bit with his oversized ear. That was good.
Rebecca Ramon Stamos before she got Stamos.
That was okay.
It kind of felt like movie. The Grammys without awards.
It did feel like an award show, but like if, and then mixed with the Disney parade, with a fake cat, with a fake audience, who didn't know what they were watching,
and like Michael Jackson's funeral too, like all that kind of combined.
Yeah, it had a funeral vibe. It had a celebrity funeral.
It was
vibe.
Like a memorial service more than a birthday celebration.
The way they talked about it was that a celebration of life
in remembrance of him.
And here's what's interesting to me about the fact that we celebrate Mickey's birthday. On the 18th of November.
You use that "we" very loosely. I think you need to dial that back
we
in.
We being the Disney company?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just like that's a pointed date of his birthday. Is that's not when Mickey was born. He was born.
Oh, God.
What?
When was he born?
No, keep going.
The Crossfire Hurricane.
No. The story isn't even the Walt Disney Family Museum confirms it, that Walt Disney and Lillian had the conversation about Mickey Mouse and Mortimer Mouse, and Walt kind of drew what he thought coming back from losing Oswald in New York City, which happened in March of 1928, not November.
So it was November when it was released?
That would, yeah.
Did so they the ever first find time Oswald? Was released.
Now, Ub Iwerks, which Will portrayed, his granddaughter directed part of it.
Leslie did?
Yeah, she directed part of the 90th celebration. So the part that really went into the detail about like, the little mini doc.
And the doc at the beginning was
I think
the
that
fantastic.
Was and she did that. So that's cool. They
I'm just waiting for
in.
Her documentary to be finished on the Imagineering story, which she started like at D23, three D23s
ago. Yeah. Speaking the documentary can last forever. If you haven't seen Welcome Home, Dick Van Dyke, it's not available.
I just found
only
evidence.
Only because licensing.
Mickey playing drums at D23 in 2011.
Okay, so he does play drums. That's a
it's
thing.
Canon.
It's canon.
He's pretty good.
He's real good.
He's rocking. I didn't know he was such
now
a rocker.
Okay, if your little kids are listening and you don't want to like bust bubbles here, Rob.
Did you just say bust bourbon?
Bust bourbon right over here.
Bust bourbon
bust
bubbles.
Who's controlling the blinking of Mickey Mouse? Is the person inside control? Is there servos? Because
this...
Word did you just say?
At one point,
servos.
He gets into
servos.
He gets into drumming, and he really gets into it. He's closing his eyes.
I'm seeing it,
and it's like, who's controlling that? Is that a person off? That's not the person in the suit.
He's rocking
There's a,
right
someone
now.
With a remote control.
Hey, okay. got any of those servos?
It's a servo. So it makes your eye blink.
Grease got moves. Served the other day.
I know, and right? Did we talk about this before?
Hmm?
Yeah, process server.
Yes, sir. We had wings yesterday. What are we talking about?
Yeah, we did.
If you had wings, which is a Disney attraction.
When
Disney
you
attraction.
Wish upon your
no,
wings.
You
just
wings,
when I
was.
Think I'm going to derail this thing, Logan brings it right back.
You guys don't remember that one? If you had wings? If we had wings? If you had wings? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
I think it was like...
I didn't even know about the name Parrots.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know about the
Tiki Room.
Yeah, Tiki Room. People left a negative review.
Really?
Did they?
No.
I'm expecting it.
I'm sure someone did.
If You Had Wings was an attraction at Walt Disney World, two-person Omnimover dark ride in Tomorrowland, it was open until 1989. So it was like one of the first times I ever went to Walt Disney World, I wrote it. It was originally Flight to the Moon, became Mission to Mars. The ride was sponsored by Eastern Airlines. I was about to say, I felt like it was sponsored by Delta, but it wasn't. It was sponsored by Eastern Airlines. And you kind of, a 4.5 minute dark ride and a leisurely pace throughout. I'm trying to see what you saw in this ride. Flavor characteristics of Disney Productions. Nicely air conditioned and also free with admission ticket required to, what? Oh, so it was free even when they were doing ride tickets.
E-tickets,
if you had wings, if you had wings, if you had wings, had wings, had wings, had wings. You do have wings when you descend. You can do all things. You can widen your world. Eastern, the wings of man. I love there's just a straight up ad at the end of this ride. And after exiting the room, you heard the voice of Orson Welles say that. Who Orson Welles, you may know as the voice of
Unicron.
Optimus Prime.
He was Unicron.
Unicron. In his last performance as an actor, that was on a test at my college at Full Sail.
Was it really?
It was on a test, which was what was his final performance, because you had to, it was random, the teacher randomly said it in a like, oh yeah, Orson Welles, last performance, Transformers the movie, and then just kept going on, and you had to know that in the final exam, so I'll never forget that.
You got it right too, huh?
Of course.
Yeah. Unicron's head became a moon of Cybertron.
Aren't they doing that Orson Welles documentary on Netflix? I want to watch that real bad.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Martin said the best Mickey birthday thing is the hidden Mickey in the queue of Under the Sea that only shows up on November 18th at a certain time.
Yes. And I believe they have that at Disneyland in Cars Land, I think. Or is it both? Are they both there? I'm not sure. Yeah. If you go on his birthday, I think at noon, as long as it's a sunny day, it shines through.
Hmm.
Only on that day.
That's beautiful.
Don't know how that works.
It's like that flower on Dennis the Menace.
I don't either.
It works though.
It's kind of weird.
Not even all wrinkled
you see
up
it,
yet.
Go,
huh.
I've seen it form. I've watched the video of it. It lasts for like
the kid
minutes.
Is a menace.
So it being in a queue of a ride, like it's like is why it you chaos? Wait. Like,
yeah, people kind of wait around for it.
Right.
It's noon.
Right, because I mean it's only going to happen that day for a certain amount
Scott
of time.
Scott said that I just want to say that him being created on the train was just his conception.
Okay.
His release was his birthday. So, I mean, that on November 18th. So, I guess that makes sense. That kind of does make sense.
Yeah.
I feel grossed out by that.
I'm strangely uncomfortable by that description.
You got to hand it to the guy. He has a point.
Right. Life finds a way.
Think so.
That was a non.
Amen. I've not got an amen on a life finds a way.
You get
life finds a way.
Time.
Amen.
Amen.
That was a rejected Disney movie, the conception of Mickey Mouse.
False.
We can make that. Yeah. We've made weirder.
We've made weirder. And drums.
Yeah.
Y'all ready to praise tonight?
Blinky eyes.
What?
Blinky eyes.
Is that Kirk Franklin?
I don't know.
You giving it up to Mickey Mouse?
I'd love to see Mickey and Kirk Franklin just
stomp.
Go to it.
I think maybe at the Candlelight Processional, Kirk Franklin sometimes does that, so you can have Mickey come out. Which is about to happen, by the way, the Candlelight Processional starting any. Again, amazing show. If you have never gone, it's not an every year thing for me, but it is definitely, I'm glad I've done it, and I do it every few years. If you haven't gone during the Christmas time, make your way over to the, whatever you call that theater, American Adventure Pavilion Theater, Gardens, American Gardens Theaters, where they do the Candlelight Processional pretty much every night, right, during the Christmas season. And there's always a celebrity. And they usually
They've announced the list. They're pretty legit.
Celebrities pretty legit. Always, compared to a lot of, like, these events where they're like, who's performing? Even, like, Food and Wine, you could say, like, it's not necessarily the most, like, relevant group of people. And there's a few hit or misses on this list.
Hanson is amazing.
I'm not saying there's not incredibly talented people, but we can at least admit they're not in their prime of popularity.
Mm-hmm. You got some good options.
I feel like Hanson being amazing is so 2008.
No.
Like thinking Hanson's amazing is so 2008. It's like now they're older.
We've all acknowledged that they were talented musicians and had some good songs, much better than just Mbop.
And everyone that I know love, that's been to their String Theory show has like had their minds blown.
Yes.
I looked at the set list.
They're so good.
String Theory.
I was disappointed at the set list, so I didn't go, to be honest. I read it and I was like, I don't know 90% of these songs. And you know what? I'm a pretty big fan.
You don't have to know them.
To not know 90% of their songs, I'm pretty familiar with their catalog. Mm. I was like, this is not a show for me. Not a show for me. Next time, play the hits. No, I'm just kidding. All right. What a.
Yeah, Pat Sajak.
What about Eve 6? How do you feel about Eve 6?
Love Eve 6.
Big fan of Eve 6.
Really?
Love Eve 6 all day and night.
I went through Amanda and I were going through a.
Think twice before you touch my girl.
Through a lit phase this week.
You won't feel the burn. Love Lit.
And they were like, and then we said, is Lit still going? And they are.
They are.
They're doing a country album now. Which is kind of like, let's leave pop punk and become a country band.
When I was touring, we played at the Guitar Players Club out in California, and it was legit. It was really cool. It was
too legit to quit.
It didn't matter who you were, like what level of touring you were, what level of band. Like he would always pay you and give you food and drinks and stuff. It was a cool place to play. And he had like a Travis Barker's drum set was hanging up, and then Adam Young from No Doubt, right? Drummer, he had a set up in there, and he had all these different instruments from all these famous bands. It was
no one knows anyone in No Doubt except for Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, there's that one guy.
Bass player.
The one guy, yeah.
That one guy that, I mean, if I saw him on the street,
the one that
they
were when she was with.
Actually, I can't say that I would know him on the street because Logan sent me a picture this week of a band that I definitely know decently well. Mm-hmm. Had no idea who they were.
Backstreet Boys.
People are getting old. It's weirding me out.
Who was it?
Let's take that segue into Spice Girls, by the way. Something I have to address.
Oh, I love
because we've been talking about this for years. Finally, reunion tour
announced. The Rock has come back to Orlando.
Only in the UK right now, but I have a good feeling. I got a good feeling.
Jolly good.
They're just testing the waters at Wembley.
Look, they're only playing 70,000 seat stadiums. So, you know, whatever. When you can do that.
Yeah, the Backstreet Boys thought it was going to be a little short run too. And
yeah, like, still going. New Kids been going on for I think 11 years in the reunion tour. But Spice Girls are back. They're doing a 10 show run, something like that.
Is one of the Spice Girls missing?
One. Posh is not doing it. But you know what?
Logan's always been anti-Posh.
Of all of them.
Not been a fan of old Vicky Beckham.
I like her.
I liked her.
She just doesn't, she never really added to like the musical or dancing side of the group.
You know what I would say to that?
Good.
Who's to say?
But I would have preferred it to be all five.
Yeah.
All five, I may have made a trip to the UK for it.
Woo.
Four of them, I'm still, strong. If we can work out a date where I just happen to be there, I'll go. It's going
to
be awesome.
That you just happen to be there.
Happen to be breathing through London.
We talked about going to the UK in the summer, so now we're like, well, maybe we can just plan it around one of these couple weeks.
So
I like that.
And I'm excited about that.
Will NSYNC ever do it?
No.
It's kind of one of those things where, like, why would Justin do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. This week on the Boy Band Podcast.
Yeah, we got to take a couple minutes.
They're Disney groups.
Hey, Emma,
they got their start.
Emma Bunton is in Cars 3 if you watch in the UK
version.
Directly related
to Mickey Mouse Club.
They actually had a segment. They had a Mickey Mouse Club segment which featured no new interviews. The interviews were like 15 years old. And she went through Justin and Ryan Gosling and... Is Ryan Gosling? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling and JC and Brittany and Christina.
Yeah.
And it is. You do look at that
JC
and go,
Chazang.
Crazy group.
You do look at that and go, how in the world? Like, you got to give it to Disney for that. Whoever cast the original Mickey Mouse Club, the new Mickey Mouse Club, not original, from the 80s, the early 90s, it
that
is
guy was
like.
On. Or girl.
I mean, unbelievable Kid Scout talent.
Yeah.
You're talking about of that group, five of them went on to be not like, pretty famous. Like,
JC was in there too.
Yeah, that's why I said JC.
Oh, okay. Can I
admit
something?
One of the bigger stars in the world.
JC Chazay, that name blows my mind. Because I never look it up, but I have no idea how to spell Chazay.
And is it JC Chazay, or is JC his first middle initial? Or is the C
like
the last
John
name?
Chazay?
Like, is his middle name a C name?
I think it's John Chuck.
No, his middle name is Joshua Chazay. Scott Chazay. So really,
he's just JC.
He's
named himself after
or Jay Chazay.
I like that better. That rhymes.
Jay Chazay.
That rhymes way better. All right, we'll move on from the Spice Girls. I'm excited. Maybe I'll hit the Edinburgh show. I don't know.
Yeah. So I will give you this. The what you brought up before that, the lineup for the Candlelight Processional is...
Oh, let's go through it.
Right? I'm kind of impressed by it.
I haven't seen it, so you'll be hit me with some fresh info.
The
Neil Patrick Harris.
New this year, yes. Helen Hunt.
Ride it out.
Helen Hunt.
Well, no, they're bringing back the Twister ride.
Is that impress you?
Yeah.
Does Helen Hunt impress you?
Because I mean,
we need to get a baseline here, folks.
What impresses me if you go to the Disney...
Yes, because she's 70 and she looks great.
What impresses me is if you go to the Disney Parks blog and look at the Photoshop work on Helen Hunt. That's impressive.
No.
Because she does not look
like
that.
More
I'm not looking at it. I
don't know that she doesn't look like that. Yeah, Bart Millard.
Bart Millard.
Yeah, Bart for Mercy Me.
Millard?
It is.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
It is. Thank you, Tim.
It's Bart Millard.
Millard?
Also, John Stamos.
Yeah. Whoopi.
This is a Disney World.
Yeah.
It's Stamos.
So we got Stamos, which I think of these so far, weirdly, the most relevant of names. Now, Bart may still be up there.
Yep.
Helen Hunt. Love Helen Hunt. If she would just do the Twister spiel, I'd be happy.
It's just skip the story of Jesus and
just say, welcome to Twister, ride it out. And then
I'm unfortunately not here.
So, yeah. If you go watch that pre-show with Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, they had to shoot it separately because they hated each other.
Yeah.
So it's really awkward. Like they're turning, but they're like in the same set. You can tell they like shot like, all right, he's coming in for a couple hours. All right, she's going to come in after that. And it's real long and awkward. All right.
Yeah.
John Stamos.
This is a powerful F5 tornado.
Carlton.
Stamos is one of those guys where he is.
You can't hear.
Too many voices.
Sorry. Too many voices.
I tried to listen to the show last week and realized.
Unlistenable.
There were moments.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Too many. Wait, raise your hand if you want to speak.
Tried that once. No one did it.
I know. It's a lot less fun. Okay. So, who was talking?
I don't know.
Matt Lott. Let's go through the list.
Okay. Alfonso Ribeiro, Carlton.
Carlton and host of America's Funniest Videos.
That's right.
Not home videos.
No, and every game show, like random ones at like midnight. Like the Card Shark or whatever it was. And then he's on that 21 show.
Nobody's watching that.
Confused why Grease is wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It's cold.
It's cold.
All right.
It's winter.
For you sports fans, Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah, loving that one.
That's kind of cool.
Go Orioles.
Is it? Is it not cool?
See, none of these have impressed me yet.
For your true game show fans, Pat Sajak.
Oh.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
The Sage.
Still not impressive.
Gary Sinise.
So this is like a hardcore conservative thing.
Gary Sinise,
Pat Sajak.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, Whoopi and Neil Patrick.
Neil Patrick Harris. And?
Jody Benson, of course.
Yeah.
Jody Benson, the voice of Ariel, right? You see her
really
perform at a wedding?
Ones.
Yes.
No.
Wait, real awkward.
Real strange.
Go back. So Cal Ripken Jr. is actually after Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah, he's welcoming the new year.
He's batting clean up.
That one is the most random of all of them, because at least the others are actors. When they're like, who are we going to see? Cal Ripken Jr. Like, is he known for his orating?
They have analyzed the data, and they just know that on 12/28, there is an influx of just older Orioles fans.
Hey, sports fans.
or just older people in the world that appreciate the fact that Joker showed up to work consecutively more days than anybody else.
Edward James Olmos.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Who does have a fantastic voice.
Mm-hmm, he does.
I only think of him as the South Park version of him from 1987 where his body parts are legit like falling off. I don't really even know the joke. That's all I think of.
Yes.
Him. Is that it?
Blair Underwood?
Yeah, Blair. There's a few more.
Who's Blair Underwood?
Who's,
I don't know.
Who's the one
he was
that's
in a Madea movie and.
Oh, Moana.
Moana.
Yeah.
Means,
well, her name
means
is
family.
Don't try. Don't try. I don't know what you just said, but it's not in English.
You're going to offend people.
Aloha? What'd you say?
Whatever her name is.
The girl. This is the girl who played Moana?
Yes. She definitely has a very Hawaiian apostrophe name, kind of.
Okay. All right. Her name is, I don't see her on this list.
Ahui?
Louis Carvalho?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's wrong, but something like that.
Did y'all say Demi Lovato?
Demi.
That's awesome.
So, and Cheetah Rivera.
Yes.
Okay, so
not a single one of these is impressive.
So usually it's the old
Stamos.
Pat Bart Millard replaced what is typically Stephen Curtis.
Yeah,
Chapman.
He's hitting for Stephen.
Is it actually Millard?
I've always heard it's Millard.
Yeah, I have too. Millard. We just established that.
I've always thought Millard.
I've heard you say Millard.
It's Bart Millard, right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Bart Millard. Yeah. It sounds like a...
Like Bart invites him over at Friendsgiving.
So. Helen Hunt.
Can only imagine.
So of this, of these lists, NPH and Stamos, I feel like are your top tier. And then the rest are kind of... Now, it's not... Who's Robbie Benson? Is that her husband?
He made the Benson burner.
Nice.
He invented it.
It's Bunsen, you idiot.
So Robbie Benson, he was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Definitely not impressing me. All right. Well, I got some listener questions if we're ready to dive into those.
Is he related to Jody Benson? No. There's just two Bensons who are Disney people. All right. Let's do some listener questions. I like this one. This
Benson mum.
Bum, bum, bum.
I feel like I love the way this question or statement is worded, because there's the caveat reminds me of the very first time we had Grease on the podcast.
Oh,
favorite drinks and drinking spots while on family vacation. And I remember the first time you went to Disneyland and realized that Disneyland was dry and had to find a way to get out of the park. Yeah.
Things are changed.
Things are changing.
Disneyland?
Yep. Things have changed.
Oh, in the restaurants.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not beer carts yet.
Right.
There will be.
There will be?
There will be.
Yeah. You think so?
I do.
Walt's going to be mad.
Well, Bob Iger said in an interview, he's like, this is one of those things where tradition we feel like doesn't matter that much. Like, this is not one that Walt, we think, would really care about.
Also, the $25 million of revenue a year that they're going to make on the old Budweiser.
Amen.
Here.
I agree.
That's like a $37 tall boy.
Throw it in the money bin.
Okay. So,
So
you drink with your family. This is a good one.
So, I'm a whiskey bourbon guy, and so for a good economical pour, I'm going to the Grand Californian bar that's
lobby
in the
bar.
The lobby bar, whatever it's called.
In
something.
Disneyland?
It's, yeah.
No, why are we talking about Disneyland?
At the Grand Californian Resort.
Yeah, why are we talking about Disneyland?
Because we went back to the original
story. You just said.
I know, but we don't talk about Disneyland on this show.
What about Disney World, where people
sometimes
travel to?
WDL Grotto. Today.
Trader Sam's, Grog Grotto.
With the kids?
Yeah, because it's at least like fun, and it's. I understand that it's a bar, but it also doesn't feel as weird. You can sit at one of the tables. You don't have to sit at the actual bar. You can sit at a high top, and they have the fun animations and atmospherics and things that go on.
I've never seen kids in there. Can kids go in there?
Oh yeah, it's completely all ages. They may cut off at a certain time.
Okay.
Disneyland. I remember. I've gone there. I've gone in there with my kids.
Okay.
And gone during the day. They may have a nighttime cutoff. We can check into that.
Also, though, if you're taking your kids out to the bar past a certain hour, you should probably rethink that.
We took my, at the time, 3-year-old son to the top of the World Lounge, if you're a DVC member.
Oh, so I recant what I just said, because we took him to the top of the World Lounge at, like, midnight. Sorry, Logan.
Yeah. Here's one that I would suggest anyone get into. The Outer Rim, the Contemporary, it is right next to Chef Mickey's. So if you need something and you don't want to beforehand, why you got to wait?
Get a pregame
gotta
Chef Mickey's
at 9 a.m.
And people eat there; they open all day.
I know. Normally when we talk about Chef Mickey's, breakfast. Breakfast.
Yeah. No. But also, I mean, it's a pretty good view of like the monorail and a good view of the Magic Kingdom. So your kids have something to look at. It's pretty chill. It's over there, right? So it's kind of like before you get between the store and Chef Mickey's. I like that layer. I've gone there a few times just to hang out because it's or if you have to wait, if you have a reservation in like an hour, it's a good place to stop and chill for a minute. And usually not very many people are in it. Even during like the busy times, I feel like it's not that, like I'm sure during the busy times at night, but if you're going during the middle of the afternoon or early evening, it doesn't seem very busy. So that's mine.
Mine would definitely be, I've got a couple. I loved the experience at Epcot at the African stand with the icy, the bourbon icy, Coke icy thing. That was great. And then the Tipsy Ducks in Love that I talked about, that was phenomenal. I just think Epcot as a whole, you can get a diverse product and it's a cool vibe.
And no one's judging you to have, and have your kids even
don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah. So. And another thing I would say is find a spot. Normally, like in the resort bars, they're going to have the Knob Creek Barrel Select
Elitist
for Walt Disney World, and typically it's around $12. It's not bad for an ounce and a half or a 2 ounce pour. I can't remember what they do, but those picks are really great and unique. And ask for the bottle so you can take a picture of it, because it's got the little silver strip on it that says selected specifically for Walt Disney World resorts.
Couple of follow up moments. Michael asked, do you get to keep the glasses containers they serve in the drinks at
Trader Sam's?
And you can.
Some of them.
Yeah, if you get the specialty.
You don't get to keep the...
You can.
You
can keep it, right? I'm pretty sure.
That one they reuse.
You can buy one.
I don't know if you can.
You can definitely buy like the Nautilus and those
shrunken heads,
the black pearls.
You can buy anything, Will.
You can, yeah, everything.
This is a, but those are plastic. In fact, this is a glass.
No, you can buy
multiple person.
I have the ceramic Haunted Mansion one from last year.
I'm Googling it.
All right. Like also,
the hat box. I don't know if you've seen the hat box.
I did. I wouldn't pay the money that people were asking for it. I saw the line for the hat box ghost this year to buy the tiki, and it made me want to throw up. Mainly that, like, this is the world we live in.
Yes.
That you're going to go wait in line, presumably hours and hours of your life, to pay.
To drink a...
Not even drink, just for the tiki mug. And my main problem with that is then you go sell it for, like, $200. I tried to buy one because I wanted one, because the Disney World, the Disneyland ones were different this year. And I have the one from last year that I got from a friend at normal, regular, whatever the price was, $40. And these were going for, like, at the time, like, $100+. Oh, I was like, you know what? Don't even, like, the picture made me mad. Like, I understand collectors. I'm a big collector. I'm not judging anyone, but it just seems like a weird time. Now, also.
Kind of sounds like the bourbon secondary market, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it kind of make you mad, though? Kind of makes you mad.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you want to just, now, I've bought and sold plenty of things over my time, but rarely is it like I buy something immediately and it's like, all right. Here it is for quadruple the price, and I waited my whole day to get it. Yeah. You know, that's kind of weird. Another thing.
Now, what I don't mind on that is if someone goes, and I've done this on some things, is I'll go in and buy one for myself, and then I might flip one. You know, okay. I'll buy two. If I'm in there, I'm get a
second.
So
you're part of the problem.
I'm okay with flipping stuff. I'm okay with buying stuff.
Just
to
pay for my habit.
I just, the waiting, and mainly the lines make me mad, and it just looks at you and go, you're waiting your whole day at Disney World, even if you live there, to get a tiki mug that, yes, is very cool, but what's your time worth? I mean, that's what I want to say.
My time's
worth nothing. One other thing is that Rob Johnson, the Muppet Man.
This says on touring plans, it's $40 to get the bowl.
Yeah, you can get it. You can keep anything. They'll sell you whatever.
And it's, Nautilus, you can get
artisan blown glass.
$52 for the mug.
This comedian I know here locally, he's selling glass blown Christmas ornaments this year.
Same guy that did the honey or the pickles?
He sold pickles. He sold pickles, and then he sold other items. Which
I'm going to go
and
ahead
now he's selling,
I'm going to go out on
Christmas
a limb
ornaments.
Go out.
And say that.
He liked one of my posts the other day. I was like, oh, what's he up to? And then I look, I'm like, oh, he's selling Christmas ornaments. And I, for a moment, like, I may buy some of his Christmas ornaments.
I'm assuming it's he's not a great comedian. If we're having to sell pickles and glass.
Oh, I thought it was
ornaments.
Very creative. And that's why I bought his pick. I mean, like I said, I'm selling a T-shirt, I probably would not have bought it.
So it's just his creative outlet.
Yeah, it's just, what is he? No, his comedy's pretty good. I really liked him. But the fact that if he was like, I'm selling a shirt, I probably was like, I'm not going to wear a shirt. But he was like, you want a can of pickles for $5? And I was like, a jar of pickles? I was like, yes, I do. And then I brought them home.
I
and
love pickles.
Ate them, and they're real good.
Had some Wickles this weekend.
Well, these are grown right
Wickles.
Here and pickled in the United States, right down the street.
If you're getting pickles that aren't pickled in the United States, I have a feeling something is wrong with
where
those
are they
pickles.
Pickling them?
I don't know that there's a lot of pickling going on, and I mean, unless it's like kimchi. Oh. If you're getting kimchi, fine, different kind of pickled. But if you're getting like just a standard dill, just get something that's made in the USA, folks.
Well, I'm going to give him a plug. Steven Spinola who Rob and I saw, comedian. His website, certifiedpreownedflyingcars.com. Pretty darn funny comedian. Sells Christmas ornaments, among other glass-blown items, as well as pickles.
Mm. So, pickles.
His website, he's like, his Instagram bio says, like, comedian, pickler, glassblower.
Mm.
But
in that order.
Another thing that Rob Johnson just told me is actually to call back to what we were talking about before about who's controlling the head. It actually is the performer controlling the head for most of them. It can be programmed. So most likely if it was the drumming, it was probably programmed or remote controlled. But typically it's the performer and some they're controlling it through their hands. They have some form of way to do it.
Trigger.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that drummer wasn't triggering it.
I don't know. We got real into it.
It's made hard.
All right. What other question? We got anyone else want to answer that question about the bars?
I mean, we've seen the other places.
Epcot is the place to be.
Wine bar, Italy, La Cava.
King Crown.
Your kids in a theme park.
Beautiful.
The Go Ask Mickey podcast says, what are the odds of...
Oh, another podcast.
Well, yeah.
Good job there, Terry.
Here's why.
Why?
Just let... Can I read?
No.
It says, we stopped listening to your show.
No, they
may
haven't.
You.
What are the odds of WDW getting a separate... getting people ready for a prepaid fast pass as well as a separate hard ticket to enter Galaxy's Edge. Keep up the great work, guys. Long time listener.
Very nice. I would say, I mean, this is all speculation. I don't think there will be a second hard ticket. I mean, there may be hard ticket events called for it, just like there are for Avatar,
just like there are
for Frozen. They do that all the time with new attractions. I would be shocked if there wasn't something like that.
All of the parks, just like the Magic Kingdom After Dark party that they've had, all of the parks are getting them in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just
cool.
Announced dates. So you can go a hard ticketed 3-hour event.
Yeah.
Basically like the DVC parties or the other kind
and
of
events.
And
we hear they're awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if they cap it at like 1,000 people. Like, I mean, what were you at like, on that? I feel like that's like a $200 ticket. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Right.
It's for pass holders. And it is $99 for everybody else. It's $125 for those. So I mean, that's a pretty
So
do I think there'll be separate
extended time in the evening or
In the evening?
God, I can only imagine, dude.
Being it's not
in that
capped at 1,000, but I'm sure that it's
speaking
not
of Bart Millard
crazy that much. Now I do say that. I think there'll be separate hard ticketed events. Absolutely. Do I think there'll be separate hard ticketed like tickets to get into Gal? No, I don't. That's not the model that they've been running and. Yeah, I just think there'll be too much. At that point, why not just build the Star Wars park? You know, there's no reason to do that. They got to disperse people. I say, no, that's not going to happen. Do I think there will be prepaid and paid fast passes? We've seen it in Disneyland to great success. I don't see why they wouldn't eventually roll out something like that in Disney World.
I mean, I'll be real. If come January, if I can pay $100 to know that I don't have to wait in 7 hours of lines to do the Star Wars stuff, I'll do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would.
Oh, just, for 120, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't even know if that's a high enough thing. I think it'll sell out so quick.
Because the great,
only $100, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, what level does that become? Oh, I mean, obviously, they limit how many people, but at what money, dollar amount does it kind of balance out? Where it's not like people are upset they didn't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where is it a good price level where it's not that people are, we didn't get it, but
I would go to, because I've done I haven't done Galaxy Nights or Galactic Nights, but I did the precursor to that, which was the last tour to Endor. And that, I think, was like $70 to go. And that was before they opened up anything else. And the only things open really were the Star Wars stuff. I think they kept open Rock and Roller Coaster and Toy Story at the time. And maybe they did. Maybe they made the major attractions open, but that was a no-brainer amount of money to go to that kind of event. So if they did a Star Wars kind of event like this, that was hard ticket, just like they've done with a lot of things, whether it's Frozen, whether it's Avatar, and a lot of those are pretty minor themed. It's like, hey, you got a dessert party, and then you get to get on the ride. I mean, they've done that. Frozen has that, you know, I think now. They
They do have that.
Where it's the Frozen dessert party. It sells out pretty regularly, which is, you know, you do your dessert party, and then they walk you onto the ride. That is sort of, I think, the Disney World version of paying for a fast pass. And do I think that kind of thing will happen? Yes. Do I think eventually there will be a paid FastPass system, much like there is at Universal? Yeah, I don't see why not. I think there still will be a free tier, but I think there will be an option to pay for something. And I've never been the person. I understand that there are some things that are straight up like they're nickel and dime and everything. Yeah. But I do also understand you're paying for premium service. So if you're paying for something that's new and premium, I don't have a huge problem with it. If you're willing to pay the money to be in Club 33, it's not like I got a problem with you joining it. You know, it's an option. It's just an option.
My prediction, I'll go ahead and make it right here, is that the very first thing you'll be able to do in Galaxy's Edge is the night episode 9 comes out, there will be a party that is in to open basically Galaxy's Edge. You'll be able to go see the movie and then go to a party like they've done in the past.
Yeah, they've done that for they've done that for Solo, and they've done it for, I don't know if they did it for Solo. They only did it for Rogue One and for episode 8.
The company line is that it will open autumn. The last day of autumn is the same day that movie releases. So you'll basically, I think you're going to see it's like the 19th or 20th, somewhere in there when it all comes together. I think that's going to be the first thing you're going to be able to, it'll probably be $179. It'll come with a commemorative something or other.
I feel like that's cheap.
I feel like we may have to have an internal conversation. Do we break our tradition of like getting, you know, having the Grease go get us tickets and, you know,
just go down there. I'm not against that. I'm really not against that at all.
If we're going to break that tradition, that would be a good...
Yeah.
If they have that kind of thing, if they had a private event type deal, I'd consider it. I'm not going there day one if it's just open the gates.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't know if I'd go the first 6 months.
I don't know that I'm going the first year without some kind of hard ticketed event.
I'll have to go the first year. I got to be there. I got to say it too, but like...
I'm sure they're going to do a... for like they did for Avatar Land, where the park closed, and then like DVC members, there'll be some pass holder events. They're going to have to do something just to
chill that out. All right, let's get some more questions because we're starting to run low on time.
Lots of people are asking about festivals. There's Festival of Holidays coming up, and then Festival of the Arts.
Okay.
So many festivals.
Yeah. I've never been to either. I think I may have been to the arts unintentionally.
Yeah, I've been to arts, and then I've been to Festival of the Holidays at Disneyland, or actually at California Adventure. And I'll actually be at Disneyland next week, so I can give a trip report from that. But
looking at the options here for the event running November 18th to December 30th at the Epcot International Festival of the Holidays, it seems all right. You know, it seems like another one of their events. It doesn't seem like there's anything too crazy.
I love the storytellers.
Yeah, and gospel celebrations, and you can go see Illuminations with probably the last time you'll see. Well, the last time you'll see the Christmas tag.
Thank goodness.
So go see the final time you'll see Illuminations with the Christmas tag, and yeah, all right. Well, I feel like we answered some questions. I feel like we got some good facts and figures, right, Mad Lot?
I think so.
That was fun. Very neat.
I'm just kind of, I don't know. I'm reflecting on you guys' answers. And I agree with them, so I don't have a whole lot to add.
You're just surrounded by our glory?
Not that.
Do you agrees with them?
It's more, I don't agrees with anything, but...
Me neither.
Yeah.
Any questions from the people watching on Facebook? We got a lot of people. If you got any last-second questions, we'll take some of them. There's a lot of people discussing the feeling of Mickey being on drums. Jeffrey said Mickey played the drums in the Soundsational Parade every day in Disneyland in 2012. He has photos to prove it. Candy. I believe you.
I love that. That's it's like, no, I got the photos
I may
to prove
have added,
this.
I may have added the to prove it. Let me put I have a photo from 2012.
Okay. But I in my head, he's like laying, drawing the line and saying, I have photos.
Jessica asked.
He's a drummer.
And we've gotten this question via Messenger the past couple of times.
Is Cal Ripken Jr.? No.
What are any tips on the Mickey's Christmas party? What thoughts? Is it a must do? How does it compare to your thoughts on the Halloween?
I like it a lot more than Halloween, which is controversial, but I do like it a lot more. I do think that the entertainment and the things that are outside of the normal everyday park stuff is just a little bit better. Halloween, like I said, I feel like sometimes it's like they throw on Thriller and put on some orange lights and that's about it. And they'll do a parade. The Christmas, from the moment you walk in, I feel like with all the different elements, whether it's snowing at the time you're going in or the cookies and hot chocolate and the extra things, I do like it. I've only done it once. It was a kind of one and done thing, but I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't dislike it. I would take my kids now. We've discussed going down the next couple of weeks, the next month or two. I would look into a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party because I did like it overall. I think it's a fun thing. The pictures are cool. It's cool. It's just a cool time. I haven't been really honestly since the economy has been up and crowds have been a concern. I went kind of during the years in 2008, 2007, 2009.
Well, aren't you lucky?
I know.
But the rest of the country sad and in the doldrums. You're going off to Disney World.
I was also like 20 at the time, 22.
That's fair.
And round trip flights were $25.
They were. You could get those. Was it the ding deals?
I missed them.
Have we talked about that? Yes, a lot of times.
We have. Now I tried to price out this past weekend going to Disney World with my family because I found out my son had a day off school. And I was like, "Hey, let's see." And the flights were $5,000 to fly last minute to Disney, and I thought,
needless to say, you did not. Because
that was just flights, and I thought, you know what? Just flights for that. Then I'm going to be paying. It's going to be like a $10,000 3-day vacation. So I thought, you know, that's maybe not the best use of funds right before the holidays. So instead, we did not do that, and we went somewhere else that was drivable. Not that Disney's not drivable, but it is a haul with the little ones.
Mm-hmm. With three kids, that would probably be a long road trip.
I love to drive. I'm a driver.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Amanda rarely drives. I mean, she drives. If I asked her to, she will.
I love a good
Logan
long
only
drive.
Flies out of necessity. Like, I cling to flying. Like, I'm like, no, there's zero chance.
Like, is there a flight I could take to Chattanooga?
Yeah.
I would rather load up a car and just go. Now, I can say I've only driven to Disney World as an adult like two or three times. Mm-hmm. Mainly because that ride back.
The ride back is awful.
So, and I can't imagine having the kids for that. But if you said, Logan, by yourself, you could do the 10-hour drive, I'd be like, oh, that sounds like heaven.
Heaven.
Put on the podcast.
I love a
myself.
Good long drive. It's fun.
I could just scream into the air and no one will ever know.
Logan, he
if it's over 3 hours, I literally
get depressed. Logan took a miter saw to his car and cut the top right off. I don't even know if that's the type of saw you'd use. And then it became a convertible so he could just scream into the
wind.
One
of my favorite moments of my life was I got to do the Richard Petty driving experience. And because it's so loud, you can't hear yourself scream. So I just screamed as loud as I could for a good few minutes. It felt fantastic. Everyone, if you're listening, have a good scream today.
Primal we screamed scream. in the Tesla, and it caught you off guard. Nothing happened.
You know how when you're going on a roller coaster and you're going down and you're going so fast, you're screaming, but you can't hear it? You know what I'm saying? Like you feel like you're screaming and nothing's coming out.
I don't think you're going as fast as you think you are on
those
roller coasters.
You're going 50 miles an hour and you're screaming.
Not even.
Scream.
Start off going about 10.
All right, well, maybe my body just shuts down.
I'll give it a 10.
A 10?
10 to 10.
I love that dog.
It's a pig.
Yep.
This is a good place to wrap up.
Golly. We're quoting...
Y'all ever
Varsity Blues? We jumped the shark.
This show is sponsored by the 25th anniversary of Varsity Blues, available now on Blu-ray and DVD.
Speaking of blue, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't give a shout out to the new logo.
Oh yeah, we have a new logo fancy by my design booth. I didn't tell anyone about it. I just re-uploaded
just
the
up.
Show.
And I go, Logan, something happened wrong.
Terry uploaded a logo and didn't tell us. Yeah. You gave him too much access.
No, I literally thought like Terry was like just commissioned that from somebody.
My design booth, who's done a lot, did that Grease a Foolish Mortal shirt, which is available on our shop right now, which Bart Scott picked up, and it looks awesome.
Yeah?
Have you seen it?
I know.
He texted to us, but you don't look at our text.
She also made a Terry shirt that's not available in the store too. Maybe I'll just put it on my own.
She hasn't sent me like the design of that. It says Weaverland.
Weaverland, yeah. All the kids want one.
I know. I'd say the Foolish Mortal shirt. It's sold to Bart Scott. But the new logo, she's like, I'm just playing around and sent me the new logo. And I liked it. It felt like the old original WDW Today logo that I liked when I started listening to this show 15 years ago, whatever it was, something like that. And 13, yeah. And it also had some of the new elements. And I liked it, and I thought, you know what? It's time for a change. I like changing our logo every year. I feel like this is our 2K19 logo. Next year, we'll have something else.
It's like we're dadgum video game.
I just like freshening it up. And also, honestly, there were some problems with the logo appearing on certain people's apps, so I had to go fix something in the feed anyway. So I was like, well, while I'm here, let's freshen it up.
Yeah.
And we changed to this logo, and I like it. It looks clean on the app.
That's what my wife tells me every time she goes to Target. I mean, while I was there.
just freshen it up.
I needed some new bath mats. Got to freshen it up.
Freshen it up.
You been to that Walmart on 100 Oaks?
No.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
I don't know if...
It's like a tiny Walmart.
Tiny Walmart, for sure.
I went there today looking on a little, maybe on a fig hunt, looking for some figs.
Tiny figs.
Fig Newtons?
No, action figures.
Oh, to get this build. I thought you were talking about, like, the fruit.
Manna grows those. We're fine. This is, I was looking for some action figures, Walmart exclusive figures. They didn't have them, but also because it was a tiny Walmart, and I didn't know. Good time to wrap up.
Tiny Walmart.
They did have a lot of 90th Mickey stuff. They're selling oranges that are Mickey's 90th.
The Oreos are good.
Yeah, but at least that's themed. These are just
they're
oranges.
Just Oreos, right? I mean, like, no, what's
they special like special the
yeah, prints. But they're still just, he says they're good. No, it's like, good. Right, they and taste they have, like an Oreo.
They're special filling.
I think they're birthday
cake
filling.
Sweet.
Birthday
cake well, that's filling. Disgusting, quite frankly.
But not in a good
sounds
way.
Sounds awful. Like,
not like, the good too sweet?
But what's the original
one of these
filling?
It makes me feel sick.
Cream?
Cream, not birthday cake batter.
I mean, they could make an argument that was always
have you ever had an Oreo before?
Yes, I love Oreos.
Making
double stuff? We're talking about double stuff Build-A-Bears.
Can we please just end this?
We had
this
a good landing with the logo, and we change it every year, and then we kept going.
Well, I just met some Build-A-Bear. I get Build-A-Bear emails.
Don't care, frankly.
And I thought, who orders Build-A-Bears online? And then I realized I have seen some people at the store that walk in and are like, you know how I like it.
What man and in his just, 30s gets emails from Build-A-Bear?
Right. One with small children.
Exactly. What are you
I'm
talking
on
about?
The email list, man. It's not like I didn't. It's,
how many bears are you building?
A lot.
A lot?
Okay. I got three children who love it, and yeah. They are high quality bears.
They're very good.
Yeah,
because no one wants a low quality bear.
I don't. They just announced today some Grinch bears. I may be popping in the store later this week.
Get you some Grinch bears.
I like a good Grinch.
So you're potentially a collector.
Once my son outgrows it, I will have a large collection.
This is excruciating.
We'll hate Sword.
Why do you hate Build-A-Bear?
No, it's just like. It's like, let it in, man.
And that's
like
what's
a
up
good,
with
clean
WDW
ending, and it just
today.
Keeps going into absurdity.
Deep South Soldiers rivalry this weekend. Who do you got?
Lord have mercy. Who's in the South Soldiers rivalry? It's like Virginia?
It's UNC and Virginia, I think. No.
Virginia? Oh, goodness.
Okay. I just love that name because they're like, we got to come up with something. It's South Soldiers rivalry. No, it's not. It's the Deep South Soldiers rivalry.
Yeah, UVA and North Carolina, UNC, is the South Soldiers rivalry.
Lame. Well, obviously, I got them dogs.
All right, that's going to do
I was
it
two
for
and a half
this
hours
week.
From, I was two
today.
And a half hours from Athens this past weekend. I was like, I might just stop in. Got the Chick-fil-A there. They got really good Christmas decorations.
All right.
You've seen them?
You can't stop, can you? You can't. You can't do it. End it. That's going to do it for this week on WDW Today.
You just got to end
we
it.
We hope you enjoyed your lunch.
No. Don't you cut off the feed.
Well, I'm leaving. I'm Will Haynes. I'm out.
Where do you got to go?
Do other things than talk about Builder Bears.
All right, I'm Logan Sekulow.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
Matt Lott.
I'm the Grease, but it's Build-A-Bear, not Builder Bears.
That's not correct if you are one of Logan's kids.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's adorable.
You don't correct it. We'll see you on the next show.